live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I'm John Deloney, joined here by my good friend and best-selling author, Rachel Cruz, and we are taking your calls on money, life, work, relationships, whatever you got going on in your life. We'll walk alongside you and help you make the next right decision. 888-825-5225. It's 888-825-5225. Let's go out to Andrew in Lexington, Kentucky. What's up, Andrew?
Hi, how are you all doing today?
I'm good, my brother. What's up?
I am currently in baby step number two, and I have a question about putting it on pause for a moment because I want to take Dave's advice and sell the truck.
Awesome. So where are you at in the debt snowball? How much do you have left?
Right now, total debt is $86,640.
Woo! What kind of debt is that?
House, car, truck, credit cards, and school.
Take your house out.
$45,000 on the house, and the rest is all the other debt, sir.
Okay. So you got about $45,000 left just to be able to breathe a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Awesome. And so the truck is included in the consumer debt?
Yes, ma'am.
In that. So how much, when you pay that off, what difference, like what will you be left with?
Well, the truck's value is roughly around $25,000.
Nice.
Private sale, but I owe $9,000 on it. So I'm wanting to be gazelle intense by selling it, and that's the reason why I want to pause baby step number two to buy a daily driver to get back and forth to work to replace this vehicle.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, when we talk about pausing the debt snowball, the one reason we'd say is if you're getting married, one would be if you're having a baby. One would be if you have to save up for something, if something at your house breaks, you can pause, save up some cash to replace the water heater or whatever it may be. And the car is another one as well. So how much do you make a year?
$86,000 roughly.
Okay. That's great. So the only thing here, Andrew, is when you're pausing to save up for a car, you're not saving up for a nice car. Do you agree?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The car I'm looking at is, it's like a little two-door Acura.
Attaboy, look at that guy.
Perfect. How much is it?
It's $3,000 on Marketplace right now.
That's
perfect.
What I'm talking
perfect,
about.
Perfect, Andrew. Yes. So, yeah. So if you're asking, is it okay to pause baby step two to save up that $3,000 because you're going to be selling the truck, then yep, absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
So real quick on the math, you're going to get $25,000 for this truck. You owe $9,000 on it. That's going to leave you with $16,000. You're going to buy a $3,000 car with cash. Or they're asking for three, so you're going to pay $2,700 in cash for this car. And the rest, that $13,000 plus, is going to go straight to your debt?
Yes, sir. It's going to pay off all the credit card debt and everything. It should pay almost everything, but maybe school and car. So it should leave me around $28,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome.
And with your income, which is you're crushing it, you're talking 6 more months and you're done with this mess, right?
Yes, sir.
Dude, congratulations, man.
That's awesome.
Way to go.
So all that transaction and stuff. So what's your plan, though? To pause for like a month just to get all this settled and
I'd say pause everything? For 13 seconds, right?
Yeah, just for a month, yes, ma'am. And I wish it was 13 seconds, Dr. John.
But I mean, the pause should be just as long as it really...
With the transaction with the bank, getting the money... Putting the money over, buying the car, making sure the title's good. Just the groundwork. I just threw out a month. It could be 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. Okay.
The groundwork to transition. Correct, Andrew? We're on the same page, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Okay.
Hey, that $13,000 you have left is going to burn a hole through your pocket. Get rid of it. Okay.
Get rid of it on debt. Yes, sir.
Here's my fear about pausing for a month is. You sell your car, you get $25,000, you go to the bank and you get your title, you trade all, turn all that stuff over, you got $16,000 and it's like,
this is nice.
Well, that could be a $5,000 car. Let's get a $10,000 car.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, man, it's not quite as it's cracked up to me. So
I love that you have it already picked out. That's a great tip for people listening that are in this exact same position. Like, find the car and be like, this is the car, so that you don't do this lifestyle
creep. It's like going
creep
shopping hungry.
Of like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
It's not like this lifestyle creep of, Oh, well, there's a kind of a nicer one. We could just spend $2,000 more and get that. So yeah, have it picked out. Yeah, be focused on it, Andrew, and that's great. That's
good.
Awesome.
I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you.
Well done.
All right, let's go to Orion in San Diego, California. What's up, Orion?
Hey, how's it going?
Outstanding. We're up against the clock, so get right to your question for me. What's up?
All right, cool. So I'm married. I have two sons, 2 years old and a 10-month old. And my wife and I, we want to move next spring up north to Washington.
Okay.
We're talking to lenders, and got approved for $350,000. And I have $92,000 in a mutual fund and another $22,000 in another mutual fund. And about $7,000 in savings. So
excellent.
I wanted to know, is it wise to use those mutual funds and put it all down on a house? Or, I mean, like what? Like what? I'm just looking for advice on that because I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah. Do you have any other just liquid savings besides the $7,000? Everything else is tied up in investments?
Correct.
Okay.
Are those retirement mutual funds? Or are they just off to the side?
They're just off to the side. One was one that my grandmother was saving up for me for a while, and then the other one started out at $100,000 from her life insurance policy that she left with me.
Okay. Do you have a retirement somewhere else with something else?
Yeah, so I got my 401k that I'm starting, and I have 10% in my Roth, and then 5% in that with about a 4% match on my 401k.
Okay.
I mean, How much will you, for your house currently, what's your living situation? How will that change when you guys move? What do you owe in your house? How much is it worth?
Yeah, we're living with her parents. They've been gracious enough to help us out. Because I kind of went belly up when I was renting, so my wife could pay off all of her debt. I was trying to do it all.
Okay.
And she was able to become debt-free, so we are both debt-free. And our monthly payments on stuff we actually have to pay are just about $600.
You broke up.
Yeah, talk,
how much is it?
Talk directly in your phone.
Oh, $600 a month that we actually have to pay.
Okay, so you guys have no debts. Your $7,000 is liquid with savings, I guess like for an emergency fund or something. And then you have all this other stuff. So,
I'd cash them out.
I'd cash it out, but I would say bump up that $7,000 to a 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. And just because you guys qualify for $350 around, I would really encourage you, just because that's what the bank will give you doesn't mean that you need it. Make sure you get a 15-year fixed rate and that the mortgage payment is no more than 25% of your take-home pay. Work on that formula versus what the bank. The bank will give you a bunch, but that doesn't mean you can afford it. So
yes. Run
those numbers very, very carefully. But yeah, you can cash out those mutual funds and use it as a down payment on probably a mortgage less than $350,000.
Probably $250,000.
Yeah.
Being my guess.
Just to be conservative, you're good. And you can always move again in a few years if you want.
That's right. Hey, 888-825-5225. We'll be right back.
The Ramsey Show. We are taking your calls this hour at 888-825-5225. Coming up next, great name coming up next. Boone.
And of course,
from
he's a
Fort
Texan.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Boone from Texas. What's up, man?
Welcome to the show.
Howdy. How are you guys doing?
Oh, that's what I expected. That is everything I wanted. Thank you, Boone.
Thank you, Boone.
You're a wonderful human being.
What's up, man?
I appreciate it.
You're on the right side of DFW, too. What's up?
Yes, I am. So, I am the only income provider for my household. My wife's a stay-at-home mom. We have a 10-month-old daughter. And I've been given the opportunity to basically quit my current job, which is for a very big corporation, as a W-2 employee, to go work for a mom-and-pop shop, kind of, in the same trade, same job title. With potentially making a lot more money, but as a 1099 worker, as a self-employed contractor with no benefits. So I'm kind of like, part of me wants to do it, but also I don't want to, you know, in a sense, put my family in jeopardy if it doesn't pan out.
Are you a lawyer?
No.
Okay.
What do you do?
You said no.
I'm a PDR technician, but it's a fancy way of saying I fix dents for a living or hail damage.
Okay. Yep. So what do you make now in your corporate job? And then if you were to run just some rough numbers, what would you make if you went into a smaller business kind of on your own as a 1099?
So my job is a 100% commission based. This year I'm expecting to make between 90 and 100,000. And if I were to switch over to the mom and pop shop, and this is just off their word, I kind of just met them like within the recent months. They seem like good people. But they say I could easily clear 100,000 out of the 1099. But that's just off their word, you know?
So you're making similar money and the other job you have benefits. And then this one, you know, you won't.
The other one as a W-2 employee, you have a different tax. You have different taxes. 1099. You got to pay all of your taxes.
You pay
30% against 15.
Yeah, but idea is like I would be making a lot more, possibly a lot more money because it is based off weather. Because I'd be doing mainly just hail insurance jobs.
There's no hail in Texas. Just kidding. That was awesome. That was a good joke. Right.
So 100,000. Sorry, with the mom and pop shop, that's like the floor is kind of what they're saying, and you're going to be able to make way more than that because I just heard you say 100,000.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It's
easily clear it, and then up.
Yeah.
Man, here's what doesn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. You're not the illusion of safety. You're quote unquote safe in this job or safe in that job. People say like I make less money for the big corporation, but it's a safer job. And I always go back to the story we told in another hour where my mom worked for Enron. I just don't buy it, right? But if you told me this mom and pop was a family friend of yours and you'd known him for a long time and like you had seen the numbers and this is legit, that's one thing. To just tag on to somebody like, no, you're going to make 100 easy. Man, that makes me real uneasy to put my wife and 10-year-old baby girl on that train. Like I would be, if I'm you, I would sit down and say, I need to see your books. I want to see what y'all have reported over the last couple of years. I want to see what the business is. Because I can see them just salivating over a guy like you who is out there just getting after it for a corporation making $100,000.
Yeah.
Man, I'd love, I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dig in more,
Boone.
Something's
not right.
Dig in more and then run all the math out and say, okay, worst case scenario, I'm going to make 110 with the mom and pop. But then run out your taxes, run out your benefits of insurance, run out everything. And then see how you end up versus 90 to 100 in the corporate job with taxes taken out, right? Run two formulas and then say, okay, here's what I have to make for this move to be worth it. Right. I have to make 130.
Yes.
Or whatever it may be. So run those numbers. And maybe it's not right now, Boone. I mean, that's okay. Like you have a 10-month-old at home. You have a great job. Mm-hmm. And unless you just hate it and it's a toxic environment and you're like, I just want out and change, that's one thing. But if you're okay with it and you're enjoying it, the other numbers just have to be a big deal for me to make that big of a shift right now.
All right.
Life.
You said something important. I just want to, before we go to the next call, Rachel, two important things. One, do the real math numbers.
Yeah.
Too many people, like they don't want to leave their job. So they kind of like, well, it's going to cost $1 million to buy a new house. No, it's not. Or they are desperate to leave their job and they're like, no, we'll make it work. And you can't make it. You can't just imagine math, right? That's important. One, number two, number one. And then number two is, sit down with the person that you're about to hit your wagon to. Like Dave and I had lots and lots of meetings both ways, right?
Yeah,
saying,
totally.
Am I going to let this guy speak on behalf of my family's name? And me saying, am I going to quit my dream job and everything I know to, am I going to attach myself to this dude's last name? Right.
Right.
And so do your due diligence both ways and make sure you feel comfortable in your soul that this is the right move.
Yeah, that's great. All right, up next we have Ethan in Boise. Hey, Ethan, welcome to the show.
Hello. So Me and my fiance are 22 with two kids. We have $34,000 in debt. We have a wedding to save for in August. That's about $10,000. We net $50K. And with this new job opportunity, if I go gazelle with overtime, I'll be able to bring in another $3,000 a month. With the debt, $30,000 is in a car. And my question is, do I sell the car now and get a small loan to get a used car, or do I sell it privately, get a little bit more for it, and then save up or save up and sell it later?
So out of your $34,000 of debt, 30 of it is a car?
Yes.
How much do you think you could get for it?
Kelly Blue Book said today privately 37 to 39, and then the instant cash offer was 30.
Oh, Ethan, I got a great I got a great plan for you, Ethan. Sell that car.
Okay, I need to hear it. Please.
Go drive. Okay, sell the car. Go drive a $4,000 to $5,000 beater. Your fiance is embarrassed to be with you.
You're
kind of
embarrassed.
Car.
You feel ashamed.
Terrible car, Ethan. Terrible car.
Even your little kids are like, "Are you serious, Dad?"
Have your wedding in August. Get married. You guys together. Combine those finances. Save up between now and then for the wedding. And that. Wait, for August. Like a year from now?
Yeah. Yes.
I would, okay, sell the car today, go to tomorrow and get married. You guys have two kids together.
Why are you
don't
waiting till
wait
August?
A year?
Go get married, dude.
Go get married.
Because we want to
have,
know,
a party.
Have the wedding and stuff.
Have a party.
Hey, have a party later. Have a party later.
Party.
You guys
do
are
it.
Married. You have kids, you're living together, you are married. Go get the certificate. You do it, Ethan. Seriously. You don't wait on a wedding to solidify your relationship. That is a way bigger deal than the wedding. So you guys can have it in August. You're going to have a big old party, and it's going to be amazing and wonderful.
And paid for in cash.
Paid for in cash. You're going to get married before that, though. And then you guys have $4,000 left of debt after that $30,000 car. You guys can pay that off real soon. You're going to be in a great
position. Sell it for $37,500 and pay your debt off, and you'll have $3,500 in your bank account.
Well, he's got to buy a car.
That's true. My bad. Sell it for 40. Somebody will buy it for 40.
When do you think Ethan should get married?
Yesterday.
Do it soon, Ethan.
Do it for the weekend. Surprise your wife. Okay. Women love to be surprised with weddings. Just kidding. Don't do that. It's terrible advice. It's the worst advice I've ever get on the show. Do not do that. Whatever you do.
No, but for real, though, I think I think there's a benefit for you guys as a couple to be in it, to solidify it. There is a level of commitment there that you guys need together, and then you're going to knock all this out, and it's going to be a forever memory, and have a big party in August if you want, or sooner.
Right.
And live your life with your two kids, Ethan. You guys are killing it.
Sell the
and
car,
best,
my brother.
Build wealth, change your legacy, Ethan. You got this.
Thank you.
To the Ramsey Show. Up next is, I'm going to do this, y'all. I'm going to do this.
Guadalupe from Des Moines, Iowa.
I was about to do it.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Guadalupe. Let's see if I got it right. From Des Moines. Did I get it right?
Yep, Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
It's beautiful.
So great.
Muy bonita. What's up?
Well, I just want to see how I can get better at saving money. We're currently on baby step number two.
Okay.
But, like, I think I know how to, but it's just getting there. Like, I need somebody to, like, help me out. I don't know where to start. We make over 120,000 a year. We have a brand new truck, and we have some medical bills, and then we have the house, and then that's all we have. For debt. but I'm like, I just feel we should be able to put more money away.
Mm. Yep. Okay, so how much is the truck payment a month?
The truck payment is $400.
How much is it in total? What's the total loan as well?
26. Right now, currently, we owe 26 on it.
Okay.
26. But it's we have a lot of how can I put it, stuffitis.
Yeah.
We buy a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just trying to like figure like, and we don't know, we don't need those things. So yep. It's just.
So why do you buy them?
It's not me. it's my husband. Mm-hmm. He likes hobbies. He likes to, you know, just go and get it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm more of the, I'll put something in my cart and I'll be there for months until I finally commit that I actually need it. Mm-hmm. So it's just trying to convince him, like, how can I convince him how to save and how we don't need all these things.
Is he on board with when you bring up paying off debt? All of that. What is his?
He doesn't like having debt. Like it's more like how can I? It's. I've been listening to your guys's YouTube channel and it's like, you think you're normal because you have a car payment.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm just like, we have a paid car already. We don't need to have another car payment if we can pay this car off ASAP. It'd be awesome, but like we also have credit cards and I'm paying $3,000 a month on credit cards. Like they get paid off every month, but
yep.
I'm like, we can be putting that money towards savings.
Yep.
And it's trying to like, I've used the word Dave Ramsey. I'm like, Dave Ramsey says this. He's
so
like,
I want to try a new track. Okay. often sure. We get stuck in a rut. And we try the same tactics and they don't work. And then we get frustrated. Yep. And so we try the same tactics, just louder and angrier and
yep.
harder. And then they especially don't work. Okay. So yep. you and or your husband get something from getting a new package in the mail or from having a shiny new. There's something that is bringing your body something, right? You're getting yep. some sort mm-hmm. of benefit from this, even though that benefit might be killing you. Like, think a cigarette calms you down, tit it right now, in the moment, and it kills you, right?
Yep.
So mm-hmm. I want to try a different track. Instead of talking about Dave Ramsey, instead of talking about let's pay off our debts, instead of talking about math problems, I want you to sit down with your husband and say, I'm scared.
Okay.
I am terrified that we are going to spend ourselves into oblivion. I'm tired yep. of waking up at 2 a.m. unable to breathe. I'm tired of you having to take extra shifts. I miss you. You have to take extra shifts so that we could pay this $3,000 credit card bill off of just crap, stuff we don't need. And I'm yep. not. I don't feel safe in my own house anymore. Would you be willing to join me in creating a home that we both can go in? Let's start there. Because now... Okay. Now getting out of debt is part of a path that y'all are going to take together towards a common goal. It's not about math. You'll have math problems and you'll have great discussions and I want a new bow and arrow. Yeah, well, I need tires. You'll have those discussions and disagreements and fights and they'll be spectacular. But they will be in service of a greater identity, and that is we are a family who is safe and we're a family that doesn't borrow money because we are never going to be slaves to somebody else. That's who we are. And now let's mm-hmm. create the behaviors that fill that up. You see a total difference there?
Yeah.
One is nagging about, oh my gosh, you got a new truck. And one is, when you pulled up in that new truck, I didn't think you looked like a big, tough, cool guy. I thought, oh no, how are we going to make this payment? And then I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Right? That was a totally different conversation. And if he's a husband who looks at you and goes, ah, get over yourself, now you got a harder conversation.
Yeah, then you got some more marriage stuff, yeah, to yeah. dig into. But in the, obviously, the perfect world is that he says, okay. And honestly, I have found with the spouse that's reluctant, but wants to get, they're not like totally against the idea, but they're like, I don't know, logistically, I don't even know how to get. If you can map out detailed detailed the debt, how much could go each month towards the debt, what you would cut out, create a budget and just say, hey, if we cut out this expense, and show the math though, and show the pathway out, because your husband, probably like John and I, is the spender of the relationship. John and I are both that in each of our marriages. And so if my husband came to me and was like, hey, sell your car, we're never going out to, you can't go shopping, get off Amazon, we are paying off debt, I'd be like, that is not a fun life. So I don't know what life you're living over here, but like, I want to enjoy life. But if he told me, hey, I, as your husband, I am stressed, I am freaking out, I can't breathe, everything, right, that John just told you to say, if my spouse came to me and said that, and said, and here is what the next 26 months could look like of our lives, and it's not going to be fun, because it does mean I'm not going shopping, I may have to sell my car, whatever sacrifices are involved, but there is an end game. If he can see the end game, that, hey, you can get back to enjoying stuff, because we're not against stuff. I think people think that about the Ramsey Solutions, like, oh, you guys are so cheap. I'm like, no, we are for stuff. We just don't want your stuff to have you. And you guys are in a position where it has you, whether it's spending because it feels good and you're stressed, or you're spending with money you don't have, so now you're going into debt for it. So we can have stuff later in life. That's not the problem. But how we're going about it is what is killing us. And so having that timeline, I think, really helps see an end game versus this being a forever long path. And you guys make great money.
Yeah, you're doing good.
You make in Des Moines, Iowa. It's not like you're making $120 in Manhattan. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you guys are, you're in a position where you can do a lot. And it may mean sacrifice of lifestyle. And I also want you guys on a budget. I mean, because if you're not being so specific with your paycheck, yes, it's going to, $400, $500, $600 can slip out and you don't even notice because you're just spending. And so really, you guys getting together and saying, hey, we're going to do this together and locking arms and knowing, like, this is a new way of life for a certain amount of time of the sacrifice till we get out of this debt. Does that help?
Yes. It's, I call it my little notebook, and I showed him, like, he finally looked at it. And he's like, and his eyes just got big. And I'm like, this is what I'm explaining. Like, we need to, like, follow everything. And
I also, like, don't want you to be his mom.
You're not his mom.
In this process either.
I don't want to feel like his mom.
Yep.
Because he just, he likes nice things. And he works really hard. But I'm like, we shouldn't just be paying off the nice things because you do work really hard.
it's both and. So. We work really hard. And then over time, we can afford nice things. If we take something out on payments, I'm just borrowing it from the bank. It's not even mine. Like, I want stuff, if I buy something, I want it to be mine, right?
Yeah. You don't want to own, you want to owe. Yeah, you want to own it. You don't want to owe on it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. This is The Ramsey Show.
Today's scripture of the day is Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving him thanks to God the Father through him. Hunter Patch Adams says, I dove into an endless sea of gratitude from which I've never emerged.
Oh. Can I say, like, a probably semi-dumb comment here on the radio show, the podcast?
I like how you're asking for permission.
Go ahead. Patch Adams. I didn't know that was a true story. The movie?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
There's this cool thing right when it starts. It says, based on a true story. Yeah.
I mean, it's been years.
That was a conspiracy theory,
huh?
It's
been years since I've seen that movie. And the only
she believes stories are true that aren't true, and ones that are true.
That's exactly right. The doctors come out and say, hey, this is what we need to do to all be healthy. And she's like, whatever. And then a movie comes out. It's like based on a true story. And she's like, whatever.
Whatever.
Good job.
No, I didn't know that. I just have a quote from that movie. It's the only quote that I know from that movie. And the old lady was like, I just want to swim in a big pool of noodles. Do you remember that?
Nope.
It's like they ask like what your dream is and they send the old lady and she swims in a big pool of noodles. It's great. But anyways, never knew. True story though.
We are changing lives, America. We are changing
Patch
lives.
Patch Adams.
All right. On that note, big gulps, huh? Pick them up. Let's go to Phillips in Dayton. What's up, Phillips?
Hello. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
So right now, my wife and I are on baby step two, and we're in the process of getting out of debt by next year. We'll be out of debt next year. So we're having a lot more discussion on getting a house once we complete baby step three. Well, right now, we just can't seem to agree on the idea of, you know, a credit score and essentially why it's how it impacts your interest rate and thus your monthly payment and things like that. So I wanted to call you guys to get your take on it. I know obviously what you guys believe about credit scores, but there seemed to be a disagreement on the value of building credit scores towards, you know, getting a lower interest rate and whatnot for our home when that comes.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of, honestly, I've heard all over the map, depending on whether you go through a credit union, mortgage company, all of it, what kind of rate that they give you without a credit score. When they do manual underwriting, some we've heard that it can be a little bit higher. Some we've heard it's the same. And so it really is going to depend when you guys pull those numbers, when you get close to it. But as you guys are getting out of debt, it's still, there's a mental shift there that when you say, I'm not going to live with debt, and you go through baby step two, you pay off all of your debt, naturally your credit score is going to lower. So you guys will be using manual underwriting at some point because you are not interacting with debt if that's what you choose to do.
But let me say this. Sheila and I had no debt, and as a part of my, I rented my home from the university where I worked.
Yeah.
And then when I went and bought a house, we haven't had debt for years. We had no problem. And so I didn't haven't personally experienced that, right? Not having
it being a big issue.
Not having a good relationship with debt. And it wasn't like I was making $1 billion or anything like that.
Sure.
It was just, I just didn't run into the problem. And so I know there are people who sit down with their mortgage lender and walk away and want to point at this or point at that thing. If you're in good shape financially and you've got a good down payment and you sit down and you're buying a reasonable house, and if you have to go through the manual underwriting process, you have to. But I went through it recently. It wasn't the end of time.
Yeah.
Phillips, have you actually sat down with a mortgage lender yet?
No, we haven't. I mean, we've talked to one just kind of briefly because essentially her credit technically is better than mine because right now mine was just lower. So they told us the difference of what the manual underwriting process would be, you know, and how they would kind of base it off of mine because it's technically lower right now. It's not yet at that zero point that you guys talk about yet.
Did you go through Churchill?
Yeah, Churchill, yes.
Okay. And so they said the manual underwriting would be a little bit higher?
Well, no, they didn't say that. They didn't say like what the actual payment would be, and that's why I was calling.
Okay. Yeah, I would sit down and say, hey, we're ready to get this process started. And let me put it this way. My wife and I have spent a lot of energy having hypothetical arguments that once we just got real numbers to real things, it settled the argument in an embarrassing way. So I would call and get some true data and say, all right, let's assume we're pulling the trigger here. What is this actually going to look like? And what are the dollars and cents of this?
Yeah. And honestly, Phillips, where you guys are, you're still getting out of debt. You still want to save up an emergency fund and you still want to save up a down payment. You guys still could be 18, 24, however months out.
Yeah.
And even the Fed just raised the rate yesterday. So, I mean, like things are just constantly changing in that world anyways. If you want to do exactly what John said, I think that's great.
Right. Don't do what I said.
No,
do what Rachel said.
No.
Pay
I think
your
it's okay
off.
If you do. But just know life could look a whole lot different when you're actually ready to purchase a home. So just remember that. Because again, I think we can get stuck in what today is. And that may not be the case. Who the heck knows what 24 months is going to be.
In my world, in the mental health world, the nutrition and exercise space, This sounds like one of those worlds where people are arguing over macro percentages, like how many grams of protein, how much this and how much that, and they don't exercise, right? Like you miss the big thing and you start fighting over these little things. The big thing in Philip's home right now is let's get out of debt.
Yes.
Like that's the thing we can do right now. Arguing about something that's 24, 36 months is just bringing chaos into our home that is unnecessary at this moment.
Totally. And then, and kind of, I was going to make the point earlier and didn't really finish it in my head, but just this idea that, you know, when you guys kind of like are like, oh, do we kind of keep a better credit score here? Kind of still play the game here just to get the credit score because we want the house, like da, da, da. All of that back and forth, honestly, it's not worth it. Like, just saying we're going to be sticking to one plan, we're going to focus on this and go all the way through, knowing that we can still get a house at the end of it. There's just something that does in your behavior and in your spirit when you commit to something versus this like back and forth play.
And so, when somebody tells me it's going to cost you a quarter of a percentage point, if I'm in a financial position where that prohibits me from buying the house, I shouldn't be buying the house.
That's a great point,
right?
Too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Good call. Go all in, man. Go all in and save that argument or that frustration or that disagreement in your home for A, something that matters, and B, something that make when it's time relevant, right?
Yep.
All right, let's take one more call. Let's run to Jason in Atlanta. Jason, we are way up against the clock, so get right to your question.
Hey, guys. So I just started listening to you guys recently, and my wife and I are just trying to figure out the best way to do baby step number two, which is tackling our debt. And we feel like maybe our biggest obstacle is living in the house that we're living in now. We just recently bought this house. It's within the 25% range of our take-home pay, but we were just wondering if we need to sell the house and downsize to kind of remove what we think is the biggest obstacle to paying our debt.
How much do you owe?
The quickest way I can answer the question.
How much do you owe?
Let's see, $401,000.
Are you a doctor?
We are both nurse practitioners.
Okay.
How much y'all bring in a year?
$170,000.
Okay.
Each or combined?
Combined.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I've just got a limited number of friends that are MPs out in the community, and they're both doing that's about a salary for one of them.
Gotcha. So she's starting out. So this is her first year out of school, and okay. I'm in a ministry position where we like serve the people who are underinsured. And
so I'm going to tell you something really hard, Jason. And I'm a person who believes deeply in service, and my family. Very, very similar. You can't afford to do that yet. You've put yourself in such a hole that you're going to have to put your ministry on pause, and you're going to have to go earn a whole bunch of money to clean this.
Because I'm going to assume if it's a lot of student loan debt to get those degrees, you guys have a lot of debt. So probably too much house.
$400,000. Yes.
Yeah. That it may not be worth living in. Even though you're in the 25%, you could probably stay. It's not eating your whole budget. But hey, you could sell it, and get out of debt.
I'm so sorry to be that one, but yeah, you got to get after it. Want to thank the great Bob Orquez for loving us and taking care of us.
And Austin.
And James. This has been The Ramsey Show.
Hey, it's Rachel Cruz, co-host on The Ramsey Show. If you want to do your debt-free scream live on the show, visit RamseySolutions.com/debt-free-scream. We'd love for you to come to Nashville and tell Dave your story. That's RamseySolutions.com/debt-free-scream.